It's been a long time since we had any chat around how banks in India are faring from a stock market perspective. Well, today we have with us Vishal Goel, who heads the research side at UBS Securities, and he's also an expert in the banking sector. Vishal is here to break down what really are the points which is favoring banks in India and where one should turn a little cautious. Incidentally, UBS Securities, with Vishal authoring it, has recently released a report on how Indian banks are positioned for low risk and falling interest rates. Thank you for joining in, Vishal. I'll start directly on the point about corporate leverage that you're talking about, where you're saying that corporate leverage is possibly at a 23 or best. The exposure of banks, Indian banks, to stressed companies is also one of the lowest in so many years. Do you think that to be one of the largest alphas as far as possibly next round of re-rating, if it were to happen in bank stocks? Would this factor be a driving point for that, in your view, Vishal?
You know, sure. Thanks for these questions. So one, the way to look at banks across cycles is credit cost is the biggest derating factor. Okay. So, and it is the biggest value destroyer also. So if you see stocks where credit cost has remained, let's say, high for considerable years, like shareholder value was lost significantly during that period. And when you, and especially when you compare it with banks who have done, you know, well on credit cost or credit quality, you could see the compounding benefits over the years. So that is what I think, you know, we are, you know, trying to see, and the whole exercise is to see whether in the next coming years, is there a value destroying event, you know, which possibly can come through. That is like generally the way we have approached this. In terms of re-rating, so what happens is, if credit cost remains, let's say, within control, right, or around average, below average, what it allows banks to stay near historical average, that is the bare minimum, right, and with optionality of going above average, as and when loan growth picks up, as and when, you know, you have other income drivers, etc., coming in. So it gives you a good platform to re-rate. It in itself, or credit cost in itself, the re-rating has already happened. So I would not say there is, you know, more re-rating because of credit cost.
I completely agree with you. And whenever we've also looked at in cycles, possibly the current one is a little different because for a lot of us, this is the first time, or maybe this is one of the early times that we're seeing so much of a plateauing or fall in credit cost. But they always say that, you know, there's so much of calm before another round of madness. Do you see banks possibly through that curve as yet?
Fair question. You know, sometimes there is unease because of the calmness also, which is what I can sense, you know, and we also keep debating ourselves, right? Like with investors, within our teams. The way we've approached this is, we've broken the banking cycle, you know, of last 25 years into these periods, I think, and the way you described it, you know, peace, you know, so I call it like war or peace, or, you know, stage one, stage two, stage three, as we put out in our reports. So these periods, if you look at, there is a cleansing period, which is generally stage three, which is where banks would start to recognize stress, create credit cost. And then there is a period after that, stage three, when credit cost will keep falling after, you know, making a high.
Right.
And it will fall below average or near average. And that's where, that is stage two, which is where most of the money is made in banks. Stage one is where you make maximum re-rating. Stage two is the place, which is what I think we are right now in, where credit cost would remain near average. And generally, it can remain near average depending upon the loan growth in the previous years, which basically gets reflected in the leverage. If the leverage is low, then stage two can be as much as 3 to 5 years. It doesn't need to end within a year. So you go back and see 2004-05, when banking system came off an NPL cycle, and that was, you know, primarily steel, cement, all those industries gone into NPL. And then the recovery started in 2005-06. And that's where you saw credit costs actually remain below average or low for considerable period. So it's a good, again, backdrop for the next, growth or next cycle of growth.
Just one thing here, Vishal. If you can sort of help us understand, what is the point of reference that you're making when you're talking about averages here? And a little bit of improvement that you mentioned about, if you can put it in terms of numbers for us.
See, most banks would quote, 100 basis point as the average, right? Now, banks we cover would be, because we don't cover a lot of state-owned bank, would be more like a 70, 80 basis point average.
Mm.
So that is the range. And again, there is a chart in our report as well, which gives you a reference point. That it, like the credit cost, system credit cost used to be around 70, 80 basis point for years, like below five, below that for 5 years. So it's not, unimaginable. If you have certain conditions, right, like the leverage is low, et cetera, we could see that happening again. The only reason why credit cost is increasing in our forecast is retail, because retail is something which will keep, slipping in a little bit of credit cost.
I will want to spend a minute extra on this aspect, Vishal. Let's go back a little in time, post ILFS 2019. That's when the whole, push towards retail pretty much started in a very secular manner. We were expecting, retail assets to show their color somewhere in 2020, 21. But thanks to RBI forbearances, that didn't happen. 22 again belonged to a year of retail. Today, you're talking about an instance of a likely increase in credit costs because of retail. What are the reasons in your mind you believe that what should have been the pain in retail is not really reflecting? And how far are we from the point where it might start becoming a troublesome aspect, if not a bubble breaking kind of a situation?
Sure. So I think we need to do much more work on retail before we can categorically say, the way we've said about corporate, right? Let's say on corporate, right, we are very comfortable for next couple of years. On sure. retail, the reason we are assuming increasing credit cost is simply growth. It is the way it'll work is you have growth, and every product actually has its own, credit loss, delinquency patterns. It all Absolutely. Got interrupted, as you already mentioned, by COVID and forbearance, etc. And we will go back to a normal cycle. So, for example, if a personal loan, has 3-4% delinquency and leads to a certain credit cost, that credit cost will come. Just because personal loan is now become a bigger portion of loan book will actually appear in credit cost as well. So I'm just using an example here.
Sure.
So we are not expecting a bubble break or anything shocking to the system kind of issue right now.
But FY24 should be a year of playing it a little careful, in your view?
No, in fact, we are suggesting to take risk, because you have so much of, benefit of low corporate leverage that the system actually has a lot of margin of safety right now. And again, retail credit cost will come in a very granular, programmed manner. So, for example, a particular product, let's say, will start seeing delinquency. So it's very controllable also. Like then you can start, slope down on growth. Unless somebody has done reckless lending, which of course has happened in past, doesn't seem to be happening this time. But you could see, just maturing or, seasoning of books. That's what I think, at least I am expecting right now on retail. Yeah. Be able to take more risk, grow, slightly more aggressively.
Okay. So the kind of growth pace that we've been seeing since FY22, I think your report is also very positive and optimistic on very strong double-digit growth for next fiscal, the ongoing fiscal rather. I would, if you could elaborate a little more on this, and there is a reason I'm asking you this question. We've had the RBI governor, even the deputy governors of RBI, time and again coming out and saying that, we would not be very surprised, or we would not be very taken aback if banks grow a little slower than normal. So somewhere the expectation is that growth might get a little pruned, but you're still expecting that number to look very tall and high.
So I think it's expectation versus expectations. So for example, so I don't know what you know expectations Street has or RBI already had versus, you know, it will soften.
Mm.
I have a 12% loan growth number for next year, which is not higher than previous year, right? Like previous year was
15%. It is not.
So yes. It is a softening, right, of credit because there were some one-offs in last year. Therefore, it may slow to 12.
Mm.
And okay, now the other way to think about is nominal GDP growth and the divergence from right. nominal GDP growth of credit growth. So do we expect a significantly higher than nominal GDP growth? I don't think so.
Okay.
Can it be in next coming years? Possible if CAPEX meaningfully picks up. Otherwise, we basically expect very close to nominal GDP loan growth, which is, again, you look at last 5 years, average credit growth, I think, was single digit. So, like just a year before this, right?
Mm.
So, yeah.
Fair point. I will come to another aspect which has sort of been irking me for a while. And I expected that they would start reflecting in numbers. They're getting pushed quarter after quarter. I'm talking about net interest margins here. FY23 was the peak. Would we start some amount of cost beginning to reflect on the yields, possibly FY24? What is your perspective on that? Or do you think one more year of runaway profitability of banks?
See, net interest margin, there are two parts of net interest margin improvement. One is the repricing benefit coming from EBLR book or repo rate linked book.
Yes.
The other bit is loan mix shifts of these banks.
Right.
Right. So there is a lot of loan mix changes which has happened in few of these banks.
Mm.
So part of the margin would stay. Part of the margin will unwind as we see rates, you know, unwinding or let's say rates being cut over the course of the years.
Mm.
Now, deposit rate or deposit cost catch-up is also happening, but because the pace of loan book repricing was faster, it was not appearing as much.
Right.
The deposit cost catch-up also will appear now. So on a quarterly basis, from quarter four to next quarter, you'd see a considerable decline in margins.
Right.
However, on a YOY basis, when you compare FY23 with FY24, you may not see decline. In fact, you might see in some cases a small 10 bips to 20 bips improvement just because of a YOY effect. It's just that quarter four was very high compared to the average of FY23. So on a full year basis, the metrics will still hold. And therefore, you will not see such a big deterioration there.
Okay.
But quarterly, yeah.
Perfect. Now, I'm going to break down what you said a little more. There are two aspects to NIM increase. One is repricing and one is product mix. Repricing, personally, I'm not that much worried about because that's a market function. But what a lot of banks have also played in the last 1 to 2 years is also the product mix alterations. We've had banks which have traditionally gone a little slow on PL, unsecured, ramping it up again. There have been banks which had a reasonably fair share of problem emanate from unsecured MFI loans. Now that, you know, a large part of those problems are behind them, they're once again looking at MFI as a growth engine, so on. So the sense I sort of get from most of the banks when we talk to managements, etc., is also that everybody is playing it to the profitability game. Nobody wants to say that I'm comfortable doing, let's say, PL at an X percentage. If that's going to give me a higher yield, why not? You know, are we somewhere beginning to manage NIMs? And that's something I'm a little worried about.
Fair point. I think, and that worry is getting reflected to some degree in the increasing credit cost, which is, of course, marginal. Now, the way we've thought about this is, one, what is the starting point? Like when we look at bank by bank, right? So where if a bank actually has 3 or 4% unsecured exposure and that 3 or 4% is gradually inching up to maybe 6, 7, 8 also, is that, you know, can that be significant for this bank? And now within that, how was the experience like during COVID or, you know, in last 2 years, what was the shock or stress testing experience? At the system level, I think there is data, I'm sure is available from Euro, etc. You could see the delinquencies actually went up during COVID. But then the credit losses eventually on this in this portfolio are not much. Which also makes us believe that banks actually, the underwriting wise, they have done much better in this cycle compared to previous cycles, and especially large banks. So I think we still need to do a lot of work on fintechs and NBFCs, how the small ticket lending is going.
Right.
But right now, my comments are more about the top 4 or 5 banks.
Fair enough. FY24 is going to be a very interesting year for banks for another reason, because we will see one of the largest banks becoming much larger. How do you view this event from a sector perspective? I'm not asking for your answer from how that bank is going to fare, but as a sector, how do you see the competitive intensity sort of change or the dynamics alter a little because of this particular event? I think we're about a couple of weeks away from it to happen.
Sure. No, so I think it's a big event, and it is followed by generally consolidation in the SOE space as well, right?
Okay.
So in the last 5 years, we've also seen some consolidation there. So all this, I think, improves general, you know, dynamics of industry in my view, especially the pricing, etc.
Okay.
Because
okay.
if you have 7 lenders instead of 15, I feel, you know, the discussions will be slightly better from a pricing point of view.
Sure.
So that is one. Second, I think, like, immediately, for example, you may not see a huge competitive intensity. Why? Because the merged entity will have to shore up liquidity, deposits, liability, etc. And therefore, the competitive intensity may not go up immediately. But I am sure, I think after a couple of years, it will go up. And especially mortgages, I think there was never a time when it wasn't intense competition. So, it was always there. But clearly, I think at the margin, you would feel, you know, intensity going up, but after a couple of years.
Fair point. Let's wrap it up on this note. As an analyst ranking the sector for several years, what are your 2-3 takeaways for investors, and where would you want them to be a little cautious while playing the banking stocks?
We basically focus on long-term value creators. Like, that's sure. generally the focus. And if you think about that, we would look at names who have high return ratios, generally with a good track record of underwriting, and who has access to capital when it's needed. Because most of the value is destroyed on credit cost or inability to raise capital. Right? Generally, those are the big value destroyers. The system actually allows banks to generate 16% to 18% ROE, you
Correct.
Know, in good times. And if some banks actually have done across cycles.
That is even without doing anything adventurous.
Yes, boring
banking.
Yes. So I think, so that is, if somebody is looking for long-term investment, that is the way I think we approach.
Where would you point out the risk right now in the system? Are there even any risk the way you see it?
I think SME generally gets into trouble right on the first light of, you know, economic weakness. So typically that sector is the only one which keeps bringing out, again, some credit costs, typically that is one in the immediate one. I think unsecured will have to keep watching that. I don't think immediately something is there, but it may be a couple of years, etc. We need to keep, you know, watching it very closely.
Okay.
Yeah, these are, I think, one or two segments.
Great. And capital will not be a constraint for banks. Those who want to raise money, they will get good access to it despite whatever is happening globally.
So I think, thankfully, the supply of paper is reduced, right, meaningfully from India. So that would help.
Okay.
I don't think international markets are, you know, are most conducive right now. you know, for a bank to raise capital. But I think, yeah, again, Indian banks have managed a good track. So again, bank with a strong track record will easily get money.
Great. We'll let you go on that optimistic note. Thank you so much, Vishal, for joining in and giving us a very detailed perspective of how you see the sector.
Thank you.